this is the great thing about sport, isn't it? It's like, so obviously I play for Fleet Aces,
yeah,
and they've grown really quickly. And, you know, yeah, Andy and Tracy started this, and it was, they had friends, and then through lockdown they went all out. And suddenly they've gone from 20 to 30 mates playing to a club that we've got 75. We've got 50 people on a waiting list.
Yeah, exactly.
But we don't have a home. We play in five or six locations.
Yeah.
The club is about being sociable and being friends. But then you in anything you do, isn't it, you get a certain level where you get people to get competitive and want to be competitive. And you have to cater for elite. And then you have to cater for intermediates. You have to cater for beginners. And I've seen it coaching football with kids. Is like, and I know the FA made a lot of effort where people will get frowning upon if you're good. We have a habit in this country of bringing, if you're good, bringing you down to average. Mm-hmm. And if you're below average, trying to bring you up to average, which is wrong. You need to be pushing everyone.
Yeah.
So I see our club, like any other club, will get to a crossroads where you might lose some people if you can't keep it competitive. But if a club can then start saying, right, oh, there's these sort of leagues.
Yeah.
I mean, like the SEPL is a great start. Yeah. I think it's been brilliant for us as a club. We've evolved since last year where you just said, right, you're in that group, you're in that group, who wants to play? Now, this year, we've been a bit more selective, right? We've got a squad that we think you're good enough to be in that team and that team, and it's really great.
Yeah.
So going forward, that'd be fantastic to grow the sport.
Absolutely. And I think, you know, there's been, I think a lot of people who haven't been involved in PPL this year have seen the fun the players have had, have seen the development and how much players that have been involved have improved. And I think also it's shown players like, hey, actually, players got chosen that weren't necessarily the top players in the game. So actually, that's accessible to me too. And I think that's what's so great next season about having the Challenger League, having the Plus 50 League. You know, it's making it available to say that actually, it doesn't matter if you're not quite the top level. It doesn't matter if you're a bit older. Actually, everyone can come and get involved
In the Open this year, I think there's a Plus 75 category. I mean, what other sport is that? I mean, I've got to challenge myself. I'm going to live to 100 and I'm going to be the champion at 100, whatever category, whatever, 3.5, 4, I don't care. But that, to give people an incentive, you know, age is not a barrier.
I played, I think it was in 2022, in a tournament in France in the French Open, and there was a men's singles 70 plus category. And I was watching these guys and I was thinking the same. I was like, what sport as a 70 plus year old man can you go and have a workout, have so much fun, be around people of all ages from young competing at the same place in the same venue? And that was one of the most inspiring kind of divisions of a tournament I've ever watched. I just sat there watching these guys just getting a great workout, having the time of their lives. And I was thinking, what other sport would give them this opportunity?
I saw a lovely clip on social media in America. Two 12-year-old girls were playing against these adults, and they were giving them a hell of a time.
And it was
wonderful to see because they were just having fun.
And
these adults were going, what am I going to do about it?
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So I haven't even got to where I was going to go. Even questions, it was like your travels. Now
my travels.
You've just been to India.
Yep.
Thailand.
Taiwan.
Australia. Come back and gone to
Spain.
So what, can you talk us through what's been going on in all of those countries?
Absolutely.
Because this is like 6-8 weeks you've been away.
I've been away for a month, four weeks.
So you feared all this in 4 weeks?
Yeah.
So what happened? Where did you go first? And what was the purpose and what happened there?
Yeah. So first week, a group of us, about 20 players, I think, from Europe, went out to Mumbai in India to play the Indian Open, which, I mean, how cool is it that Pickleball gave me the opportunity to go to Mumbai in India and play a tournament, you know, a place that I've never been able to travel to, India, and, you know, somewhere that's such a different culture, such a cool place to kind of go and explore. So, yeah. But
how big is Pickleball in India?
It's really, really big, and the level is also really, really high. It was so inspiring to see, you know, their top players are amazing. And it was also so great to see just how many women were playing pickleball in India of all levels, you know. And I actually was playing in the 19 plus category and the 35 plus category for women's doubles. And
35 plus.
So what I loved was in the 35 plus women's category, there were so many women that, you know, probably had been playing pickleball for a year or so, weren't the best players, but there were so many women out there that just loved the opportunity to, hey, we'll come and play this tournament. We might not be the best. We might not win any matches, but hey, we're going to be out here. And that was so great to see. So yeah, so the first week in India was amazing. I competed in four categories. I won two silvers and a bronze. And then we also had a couple of team events which I competed in. So I played 35 plus team event with an Indian team, which was great fun, and then the 19 plus team event with an English team, which was amazing. So a great week in India to get to see, it's a group called Global Sports that are an Indian group which are running tournaments and growing the sport over there. They put on great. An amazing event. There were players from all over the world. A lot of Americans came over and played, Australia, you know, all over Asia. And it was great because I haven't played pickleball in Asia before. So I met a lot of new players.
Indoors?
Outdoors.
Outdoors.
So we're outdoors. It was pretty warm. But I, from my tennis days, I've played a lot in hot countries. So for me, I love playing in that. So yeah, a great experience in India, great tournament organization, great people, great to see a new country, really, really good fun. And then
the level was good?
The level was very good.
Yeah.
I would say, yeah, the level was, you know, in the men's final, the two Indians in the final lost to Andre Deescu, who just beat Ben Johns a couple of weeks ago,
right,
and his partner Rob Nunnery in three sets. So you've got, you know, two of the top Indian guys challenging two of the top guys in the world to win that title. Again, me and Pei in the women's doubles final lost to Megan Fudge and Susanna Barr, who me and my partner Isha, who's Indian, in the 35 plus women's final also lost to Megan Fudge and Susanna Barr. And again, they're two of the top female players in the States and the world. So
why did you lose? Because they were really, really good? Or is it just, is there about these questions in sport, like, you know, what is the difference in the levels as you go out? Is it,
yeah, yeah,
is
absolutely it,
you obviously got all the skill sets.
Yeah, well, not all of them. I still need to get better.
And is that so? Is it the margins? Is it maybe like, you know, they just want more shot, or they've just got a little bit more pace or a little bit more edge on a shot that you might not have? So they know when they take a risk a little bit earlier than you. So, and that's when
I think
they win. Or
it's a combination of things. I think it's understanding the tactical side of the game, and then, like you said, you know, shots. The Megan and Susanna are just unbelievable players. So consistent, so drilled. They understand when to go for that faster ball, you know, when to wait. And yeah, I think it's just experience, getting to play at that level. They play at that level like all the time. So for I took so many learnings away from both of those matches against them. And they actually come over to Europe and play more than any of the other American players. So I've been lucky that I've got to play them a few times. I actually went to school with Megan, weirdly, because she...
What, over here or in America?
Yeah, no, in England. So she, I think she was born in Germany, but she went to school over here. So I've known Megan for a long time. But yeah, just more experience, you know, more drilled, know when to make those decisions to win the point. So
does that give you more drive coming back to train harder, to work harder, to think, I can beat her, but I know what I've got to do to get there?
Absolutely. And I think for me, you know, it is very easy to be a big fish in a small pond. You know, I'm lucky that I'm one of the best players in the UK, one of the best female players in Europe, but I want to get better. I want to, you know, be able to go out and
Well, I want you to be the best player in the world, because yeah. I did say you were.
Sadly, I haven't quite got there yet. So for me, getting those opportunities to play those better players is just...
Are there world rankings?
Again, there are a few different platforms for world rankings, so there's not one kind of unified platform. But yeah, those opportunities to play against those players for me are great learning, you know, of how I can get better, how I can continuously, you know, develop and just become a better player.
So, and then so from India, then just hopped over to Taiwan?
Taiwan, yes. So Pei is obviously from Taiwan. So she's been wanting me to go out there for ages. So
right.
I thought it was the perfect opportunity to travel to Taiwan. So I got to stay with her family for a couple of days and meet her family, which was just amazing. So, so much fun. And again, I've never been to Taiwan, and again, a country that's such a different culture. So yeah, get to go and see somewhere new for me, somewhere so different. And she was great. Taiwan's not...
Do they play pickleball there or not?
Yeah, yeah, yeah. No, they do. They do.
They do.
Yeah. And we went, we started off in her hometown of, I think it's called Hsinchu. We went from Hsinchu... Oh,
well pronounced.
Hsinchu to Kaohsiung, and then up to Taipei. So we got to really see like all of the country, which was amazing. And just, you know, Pei moved to the UK a year ago. So I've known her a year now, but she's always lived kind of in my culture in my world. So it was great to kind of go and experience her world and see something different. And we were actually both ill. We both had flu when we were in Taiwan. So it was it was a good recovery week for us.
That was more of a social visit than it wasn't competitive.
We didn't actually play any pickleball while we were there because we were just kind of recovering, you know, from India. India was a long week. And then, so we had an amazing week in Taiwan. And then from Taiwan, we went on to Sydney.
Popped over.
In Australia. So Pei, so there's a Major League Pickleball Australia. So Pei is actually...
Is it big in Australia?
Yeah, it's big in Australia. So Pei is the captain. There's 12 teams in MLP Australia and Pei is the captain of Sea Surge. She went over for MLP Australia, but they also run another tournament alongside MLP, which is also called PPL. It's a bit confusing. So I knew that I wasn't able to play in the MLP Australia event, but I thought as I was already halfway across the world, I may as well go on with Pei and compete in the PPL event.
Right.
So we flew out to Sydney on the Monday and the event was kind of at the end of the week. So I played in the singles on the Friday for PPL. So they had the PPL events in the morning and then the MLP events in the afternoon. So pretty much everyone apart from me was playing in both. So the schedule was stacked. And on the Friday, the singles day, it was 37 degrees. It made India look cold and India was hot. It was really, really tough conditions on the Friday. And then ironically on the Saturday, it rained. So they actually cancelled the gender doubles in the PPL. So sadly, me and Pei didn't get to play women's doubles, which I was gutted about because they've got some really great players in Australia. And I was really looking forward to getting to compete against those girls again because we play a lot of the same people in Europe.
I was going to say, you must be getting used to people in the same circuit and you get to know each other's games.
Exactly.
But going over there and you go, you've no idea that person on the other side and what their game's like.
Exactly. And so I was really, really looking forward to play against those girls. But that was okay. That day I actually went out to explore in Sydney. So again, every cloud has a silver lining. We didn't get to play, but I got a really cool day of exploring in. And they played MLP in the afternoon. And then on the Sunday, I played mixed doubles. I played with a lovely up-and-coming Australian guy. He just actually turned 18 while we were at the tournament. And we did great. It was so much fun. We'd never met each other before. We finished 8th out of 29 pairs, which again, for a scratch pairing, we'd never played together before. The teams that kind of came all above us play more regularly together. Yeah. But, you know, a great experience for me to play with someone different, to play against loads of different people. And it was great to meet all of the Aussie players. Again, they've got a great community, super friendly, just lovely people.
The Aussies
people.
Aren't they? They're the same. You get that vibe, even the tennis guys.
Yeah.
You know, they're good fun.
Exactly. Great to meet the team that were running the event, Sanj and Adam. They did a great weekend of organizing. And again, a lot of the Asian players that we'd met in India, they were also over playing for MLP Australia because they kind of have a couple of Asian teams and then the Aussie and New Zealand teams. So yes, we played in Australia and then I flew back from Australia on Wednesday, had a nice 30-hour journey or 26-hour journey and landed on Wednesday and then flew on Thursday to Alicante, where this weekend I played in the second edition of the Mediterranean Open. So the first edition was back in December and we played at Rafa Nadal's Academy.
Second edition. So what does that mean, second edition?
The second tournament in their series.
Okay.
So the first tournament was at Rafa Nadal's Academy in Mallorca in December. And then this tournament was at Juan Carlos Ferreira's Academy, where Carlos Alcaraz trains.
Okay.
And I played a tennis tournament there as a junior. So it was, again, really cool to kind of go back there. And it was very cold and incredibly windy this weekend in Alicante. So we had a long weekend of being very, very cold. But again, I had a great tournament this weekend. I actually came away with a triple crown. So I won singles, women's doubles and mixed doubles.
Hey!
So a great
weekend. Are the best in the world.
No. But when you win a triple crown, everyone's kind of like, all the focus is on you and like, oh, you did great. And I was thinking about this when I was driving here today. I was like, actually only one of those events I play on my own in singles. The other two, I need my partners play really well. And I played for the first time this weekend with Hermani Baxter-Chinnery, who she is one of the up and coming women. She's one of the best women in the country. And she's done really, really well in PPL this year. So it was the first time we've ever played together. And it was so much fun playing with her. We actually came second in our group. So we lost one of our group matches, went through to the knockout stages. And then in the final had to play the team that we'd lost to in the group. But
extra motivation.
Yeah.
Wonderful,
and
yeah.
We played an amazing final. We barely missed a ball and we won, I think, 11-2, 11-2. But Hermione played amazing all weekend. And, you know, without her, I wouldn't have won women's doubles this weekend. So that was so much fun. And then yesterday played mixed doubles with James Chowdhury, who you talked about earlier. And again, he's an amazing player and I'm so lucky that he puts up with me and I get to play with him.
Again, with other sport, you can just have different partners all the time.
Yeah,
whereas,
yeah.
Assuming tennis, you get a partner and you try and stick with them and you grow with them. Whereas you, so who's around this weekend?
Yeah.
You're registered together.
Absolutely.
We're going to play.
Yeah.
How's it going?
And I think that's what's so lovely, you know, to kind of, in India, I played, I've had different partners, I think, in all the events over the last few weeks, which is fun. And I, you know, I love kind of learning because obviously when you play with different people, you have to learn actually how do they play? How are we going to play together as a team? You might play on a different side to you do with someone else.
Yeah, because, and when you're playing these, is it normal scoring or is it rally scoring?
It was all normal scoring.
All normal scoring.
Yeah.
So do you like in those instances, because do a bit of rally scoring with SCPL.
Yeah.
It's like, do you prefer the left, do you prefer the right?
Yeah,
and
do
you have that sort of, like, we're going to have that decision, even though it's normal scoring, but whatever opportunity I can, I'm going to go on my favoured side and you're going to go there and you have a code or a switch or whatever.
Yeah, so I play with James quite regularly. So I always play on the forehand side and we will always stack. So I always am on the forehand side. And with Hermione, we weren't really sure kind of how we were going to do it, but actually I played on the left, which with Pei I usually play on the right, so for me it was different. And then we stacked as well, but I get really lost with stacking, especially when I play on the side that I'm not used to. So Hermione, bless her, I said, right, we're gonna have to work together to figure out that we're both on the right
side
this
you're
weekend
on. I know.
We've
not done a lot of it because it's something we haven't really done a lot as a club either, stacking.
Yeah.
And I don't know why we obviously SCPL does rally scoring, but I don't know, Is rally scoring played a lot in America or elsewhere, or is it just another way of playing? It's under the scoring system, because I quite like it because every point works. Whereas on the other game, you can be a bit more risky because if you've got two serves, you know that you can take a bit of a chance. So you're not going to lose completely.
Yeah. So I think we see rally scoring mostly in MLP events. So in MLP Australia, it was rally scoring. In MLP in America, it's rally scoring. Like you said, SEPL and our PPL, we use rally scoring.
Right.
So I think we tend to see rally scoring more for like the team events. I think it's a faster scoring format.
Yeah.
It kind of is more entertaining because, you know, the matches, I would say, are generally, you know, 75%+ of the time are really close because that kind of is how the scoring lends itself and you end up in those situations.
Have you ever played on a show court, like with a crowd?
Yeah. I'm lucky. Yeah, I'm very lucky in that I get to play on a lot of show courts. In India, they had a great show court. And actually, in Australia, they asked me if I would commentate for MLP. So that was really cool.
So hang on, so community and commentary.
Yeah, so I've got to do, in India, I got to do a little bit of commentary. And then in Sydney, I got to do a little bit of commentary. So I've kind of been lucky enough that I've got to play on a fair few show courts, but I also got to be on the other side and be on the microphone. Yeah. So that's, and again, another learning experience for me. And yeah, I love...
Probably harder than you think, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really hard. And again, every time I do it, I'm like learning from, you know, who I'm commentating with. And you talked about Rob Williams earlier. He actually does the commentary for PPL.
Oh, right.
So he's a great commentator. So I was trying to listen to various different people before I was commentating to learn from them. But I actually love in pickleball playing in front of a crowd.
Yeah.
Whereas in tennis, I was the complete opposite. I hated it and I would freeze. And even now, if you put me on a tennis court with people watching, I will struggle. But I don't know what it is about pickleball, but I seem to thrive in that situation with a crowd.
More comfortable.
Yeah. I think, again, you're not, when you're playing with people watching, because you're so in the moment, you aren't that aware of actually.
Does the noise sort of filter out a little bit? Oh, I mean, is there a bit of razzmatazz with it all?
Well, it was interesting because when we played one of the finals in India, someone said to me, oh, I can't believe they were playing music throughout your final. And I said, they were playing music? And they said, yeah. And I was completely oblivious to the fact that apparently there was music playing during the match. So again, I think you kind of are in the moment and you filter out a lot.
Did you have
Walk-On
music?
On.
Did you have to have nominated tune when you're coming on?
No.
If you did, would you have one? Have you got an idea what you'd walk on to?
Oh God, no, I don't know. I'd have to think about it. But I think stuff like that is so fun. And I think pickleball is so new that there's so many different fun things that we can do with it. You know, it's not, tennis is very traditional and tournaments, especially Wimbledon, are very traditional, and you know, there's, you can't do a lot of different things, but because pickleball's so new, we can do so many fun, cool
pickleball
things.
There is some etiquette in pickleball, isn't there?
Yes.
There isn't a dress code, as in you have to wear white or anything like that.
No, pickleball, you see a lot of people experimenting more with outfits within pickleball. Louis is one who has, I've seen a lot of different outfits, some with flamingos, various different things that he's worn.
Well, that's great, potentially trying to encourage sponsors and, you know, money into the sport, because you know, brands can, you can be a bit way out there.
Absolutely.
As long as you can still see the ball, because I know there's some people, you can't, yellow ball with yellow tops, you can't have, you've got to be a contrast, isn't it?
Yeah, otherwise you can't, difficult. I think that's one of the main rules, like you can't wear yellow, obviously, because it clashes with the ball. Balls. But yeah.
And where do you stand on Dupre? Because I think Andre Agassi and his friends or whoever bought Dupre.
Yeah.
And I heard him say, he thought it's a wonderful tool that as a player, you can go anywhere and you can say to someone, are you a 3.5?
Yeah.
And you know that you will get sort of a good level to play at.
Yeah.
However, getting to that Dupre rating is quite hard. Well, I think we start at club level. Now, if you really want to get a fair representation, you need to go out and try against other people. But do you think that's a good thing? Because I was talking to Martin about this. I was saying, like, in golf, you have a handicap.
Yeah.
So you've got a leveler.
Yeah.
So when you play golf, you know, you get a number of shots. And I was thinking, when you're playing in an open tournament, I assume it doesn't matter what your rating is. If you're up against someone who's 5 and they've got a 3.5, unlucky.
Yeah.
Do you think there'll ever be a point where you might get shots, or someone might go to you, right, you start 5 shots up, so it levels the game?
It's interesting. I think most of the tournaments are broken down into categories. So they've got kind of a 3.5 category, a 4.0 category, a 4.5 category, 5.0 plus categories. You can't play down. So say my Dupre's 5.4, I can't play in the 3.5 category, but you can play up to stretch yourself.
But you can play down in age.
But you can play down in age, yes, but you can't play up in age. Yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Right.
So I think the concept of Dupre is great to create that universal ranking system. I think, again, not all tournaments enter their results into Dupre. So I think we maybe need to get to a point where, for consistency, everything is put into Dupre, because I know there's tournaments I play where some results will go into Dupre, and then there's other tournaments that, you know, don't collaborate with Dupre, so don't enter the results. So I think in the States, Dupre, I think, is more reflective, because the more matches you play, the more accurate your Dupre is going to be, because and I know they've changed the way the algorithm works a few times, and I don't actually know right now quite how the algorithm works, but I think, you know, if you've played one or two tournaments, your Dupre might not be reflective of your actual level. So I think, especially in Europe, we maybe need to try and enter as much as we can into Dupre to try and have enough results so that people's Dupres reflect their actual level.
Yeah, I think, because I was talking to Martin, he thinks there's an algorithm, that the algorithm can work as well, is that if you're a lower rating to somebody above you, that there's an expectation of how many points that you should get.
Yeah.
And if you go exceed that, then you get rewarded for that against the better player. Whereas I think at the moment, even if I played someone better than me and I lost, my rating would come down, even though they were a better player. And I would have thought, hang on, I'm expected to lose, but do I get any benefit of, you know, I lost 11-10 and they were 5 and I was a 3.5 for argument's sake, just for that big contrast.
Yeah.
That would be nice, because that really gives you some sort of motivation. You go, oh, if you lose, comes down. But then again, I suppose it doesn't matter, you go and compete or whatever.
I think at the end of the day, I think, you know, people get so tied up in I'm a this, I'm a that. I think, like you said, I think actually people should focus more on, actually, I just want to keep getting better as a player, let me go out and practice my shots, and if I win, great, if I lose, fine, but actually let me try and just get better as a player and not worry too much about our ratings and rankings and that side of things.
We've been talking for over an hour, and I know I've got a few more things. If you're happy to just carry on a little
bit more. Yeah,
absolutely,
yeah.
Obviously, Diadem support you. Skechers support you.
Yes.
And they're a great sponsor.
Yes.
And they don't just do old people's shoes.
They don't, they don't.
They've got a brand of trainers I've seen come through.
Yep.
Even Diadem now have come out with their own brand.
Yeah,
Apparently the teal colour's quite popular.
Okay, okay, okay.
But everyone obviously seems to get on the bandwagon.
Yeah.
But obviously Skechers, you're ambassador for them as well.
Yeah.
What does that mean?
Yep. So myself and Louis signed as Skechers' first UK pickleball ambassadors back in August of last year. So like you said, they've got a pickleball specific shoe, which I was actually working with Skechers from like the start of last year. And when I first had a conversation with them, we kind of said, you know, we would love to work with each other, but we want to make sure that I want to make sure that the shoe's comfortable and works for me, because there's no point in me working with a brand that actually the product doesn't work.
No, you can't wear something if you're not going to wear it. I mean,
exactly.
I know Jamie Redknapp does adverts for them, and I don't think he actually wears them in real
life. I think he does.
But yeah, but that's a more casual side. But yeah, in a sporting environment, I know my wife Sarah, she's really particular about what she wears.
100%. 100%.
She's not bothered by the brand. It's comfort. Court shoes, she gets uncomfortable, and it's like trying to find that right.
Exactly.
Support, comfort.
Exactly. And I absolutely love the Skechers pickleball shoes, and I wouldn't come here and say it if that wasn't the case. I think for me, they're super supportive. They have the arch support built in as well.
Right.
So they're a great court shoe, great support. They also make them in so many cool colors. They're also a great team to work with. And that was something when I first signed with them that I said, look, you know, I have to believe in you as a company as well. It's not just about the product.
Yeah,
I want to work with a company that I believe in, and they are like a family. They have an absolutely amazing team. Will, Emma, Petra, Georgia, and many others that I get to work with. They're so supportive. You know, anytime I need anything, they're there. And I think, you know, they've had so much growth in the States, and since I started working with them last August, I think they've done amazingly in this country as well. You know, everywhere I go, I see people in the Skechers pickleball shoes.
Is it just clothing and shoes they do?
Are they
into paddles? Yeah,
no, so they don't.
They're going to stay away.
They don't
from
make
that.
Paddles. So, you know, shoes and clothing, and yeah, they sponsor the English Open, the English Nationals. They're getting involved next season with the Premier Pickleball League. So, you know, I think it's an amazing product, and you know, it's like anything. It's not going to be fit for everybody.
No.
Nothing is fit for everybody, but as a shoe that's comfortable, supportive, and you know, helps my performance on court, is definitely, yeah, it's an amazing product, and they're an amazing team to work with. And I can't, you know, it's so exciting to see them getting involved in more and more things, because you know,
good.
I think they're the first mainstream brand in this country that have seen the potential of pickleball and have wanted to invest in and support pickleball. And I think they've also helped, you know, elevate pickleball, you know, even more to a bigger stage, where people see, wow, Skechers, you know, a brand that are one of the biggest brands in the world, Skechers are involved and want to invest in pickleball. So yeah, I love working with
them. That's good, because it's hard, isn't it, when you have a little bit of a stigma in this country. Skechers was always associated with very old people wearing comfy shoes.
Yeah,
and then you're trying to move away to get to a sporty environment, being cool and having colors.
Yeah.
But oh well, that's good luck to them. So do you have a paddle sponsor, or do you have?
I do have
not
a paddle
one of
sponsor.
These then. No,
I'm not sponsored by them. So my paddle sponsor are ProXR. So again, ProXR are an American company that I would say they're one of the newer, they're not really new anymore, but one of the newer paddle brands in the market. And I signed with them again probably about a year ago. And I actually wasn't signed with a paddle company for a couple of years, because I really wanted to find a paddle that I loved. I didn't, you know, I had a lot of different offers, and I thought, I don't want to use a paddle for the sake of it, because you're going to give me X, Y, and Z. I actually want to find a paddle that I love. And then, hey, if there's an opportunity with that paddle to, you know, enter into a sponsorship agreement, then that's great. And
what
so,
is your paddle of choice then? I mean, is it thick, thin? I mean, or do you have a view? Because I understand that thinner ones are for power, the bigger, wider ones are for a bit more touch and feely.
Yeah.
Do you have a...
I mean, to be honest,
Or do you swap around? Do you play with different paddles in different tournaments and different conditions?
No, I use the same paddle. The Pro XR, it's actually the Zane Navratil signature model. So it's blue and black, and I love it. And I've played with it, yeah, since I signed with Pro XR. And for me, it's got a really great balance of, you know, kind of power, but also control. Like,
right.
And at the level that we play at, we need really great control. And again, you know, when I had conversations with them, I was like, I love your product, but I also need to believe in what you guys are trying to do as a company. And Claude, actually, who is kind of the main person in ProXR in pickleball, he came over and they sponsored English Open last year. And he actually came over from the States,
right?
Had a stand in Telford. And, you know, he wanted to see, you know, actually, who else, what other players can we work with? And I use ProXR, James uses ProXR, Pay uses ProXR. And I love, again, the same with Skechers shoes. When I go to clubs and I'm like, wow, there's so many people playing with ProXR paddles. And for me, they are one of the best quality paddles out there in the market. You know, there's a lot of, again, a lot of people seeing opportunities to, hey, I want to make a paddle brand and
yeah, because into getting into the game, I have no idea. And mm-hmm. it's like, what paddle do you play with? Which mm-hmm. one do you? And it was only people like Christo sort of saying, try this one, or yeah. I've got this, and we all had a bone paddle because yeah. it's also cost, and you yeah. know, they're not cheap. But then they're again, not, yeah. your tool is you need to invest in yeah. good quality if you're going to take things seriously. And,
yeah.
You know, you need a good quality paddle. I mean, for beginners, where would you start? I mean, would you, you know, because I mean, these the thinner ones tend to be a little easy and not so expensive. And yeah. then those are, I don't know, well, they got triple carbon, in, I don't know, layers.
I don't know the thinner. Up on paddles.
But I mean, I've heard of a few, see, I've only heard of a few brands. You see, I'd never heard of ProXR. Yeah, I've heard of Diadem, Selkirk, and I think there's now Fox paddles in the yeah. UK have just come in. Yeah. And, you know, don't know much about them. But
yeah,
where would you start? I mean, an entry level paddle, what would you, apart from saying ProXR, do ProXR have an entry level? Do they, or is it more up that sort of elite level?
I would say if you're kind of coming in at entry level, you're probably wanting to spend maybe £50 to £60 on a paddle. You know, that's something that's not too expensive. Mm. It's not going to be the best of the best. But I think also when you're coming into the game, you don't need something with crazy technology. You just need something that's actually going to give you a little bit of feel. And I think you can get those paddles for kind of £50, £60. You know, there's a few different platforms in this country where you can buy paddles. The Pickleball Store, run by Lloyd, who's actually my team sponsor for PPL, UK Pickleball Shop, you kind of can go on both of their websites and have a look. I think they will both like send out demo paddles as well, because okay. like you said, it's hard to kind of buy something blind. And I think if you're at a club, people are generally pretty friendly, and you know, they'll let you try their paddle. I think to be honest, it's just finding something that feels good. I think yeah. you know, people talk about thick, thin, this, that, the other. I think actually it's more about actually what feels good in yeah. my hand when I play, more than
it's
anything.
It's an extension
else.
Of your arm, isn't it? You just exactly. want it to feel good, don't you?
Exactly.
So look, before we go, we were chatting with the lads earlier. So famous people that you've met, okay? yeah. I'm going to have to ask you to yeah. tell the story of Jamie Foxx, please.
So
the Hollywood actor Jamie Foxx.
Hollywood actor.
Not some bloke you met in Hollywood.
So you? About, again, a year ago, James actually goes out to LA with his job, and he'd actually met Jamie Foxx, I think, on, again, just some social courts in LA where Jamie would go and play. And Jamie ended up coming to the UK to film a movie last year. And when James met him in LA, I think he met his manager, and he said, oh, he's coming to the UK to film a movie and he'd love to play pickleball when he's over there. Can we get in touch with you when he's over and to play? And James said, of course.
But so, we can't guarantee hot sun outside in yeah, London. Cool. Yeah. It might be in a shed yeah. in Roehampton, but hey, you come over.
That'll do. So we managed to agree a day. So there were eight of us that I think it was one Sunday morning went out to Imbercourt and played with Jamie and his manager. Very unassuming. They turned up, no security, no nothing, just them.
Just a normal guy
came to play, and we were just again on two courts. And it was really funny because I kind of had a pinch moment of, I'm in this kind of playing field, basically playing pickleball with Jamie Foxx. And you could see people walking by, and Jamie, he has quite a distinctive voice, and a lot of people know him from movies. And you could see people when they were walking by kind of looking kind of like, is that Jamie Foxx? So yeah, we got to play with him, and he was amazing. He loves pickleball, so he's got his own.
Good?
Yeah, he plays really, really well. He's got his own paddle brand in the States.
Oh, wow.
And he's got three courts at his house, so he loves it. He has a lot of people, you know, come over to his house in LA and play. So we had an amazing experience playing with him. And then during the session, it was the day of the Super Bowl, and he invited us to his house that he was renting in London to watch the Super Bowl that night, which again was just, I mean, when in your life are you ever going to get an opportunity like that?
Kansas City Chiefs versus the Eagles, wasn't it? Was it that year, last year?
I think it was the Kansas City Chiefs. You'll know more than me. I'm not that up on NFL. So then the eight of us went to the house he was renting for a Super Bowl party. And again, he, just the most incredible person. I mean, he's, like you said, a movie star, an act, a singer, an entrepreneur, such an astute businessman. And getting to spend that evening, you know, with him and his team, and just, he was an amazing, amazing person. The stories that he was telling us, and he was so engaging, you know. There yeah. were eight strangers that he'd invited into his kind of inner circle, and he was so interested in each and every one of us, and would, you know, chat to us as a group. It wasn't kind of like, oh, well, you can just come, but I'm not actually going to interact with you.
No.
It was amazing.
A bunch of mates together, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah. And you said, you know, I think it was the shared passion of pickleball. You know, he could see that we love the game just as much as he loved the game, and it gave us that common ground to connect. You know, none of us are Hollywood movie stars. We don't have that much in common with Jamie Foxx, but we had pickleball in common with him. And yeah, that gave
that's humans, isn't it? If yeah. you can find some common ground, yeah. you'll always can have an engagement with people, isn't
absolutely,
it?
I mean, absolutely.
So wonderful. Look, I'm going to say thank you ever so much for coming along.
Thank
I
you
really
for having
appreciate
me.
Your time.
Thank you.
We'll call it a wrap there, but thank you to Thaddea Locke for Britain's number one lady, not the world, but you will be.
Definitely
last
not
question,
the world.
Last question though, where would you like to see pickleball and yourself maybe in 5 years? Where would you like to see the game, UK, globally?
Yeah.
Where would you like to see it?
I think in the UK, I would like to see everybody knowing about it. A lot more people know about it more now than they did kind of a couple of years ago. But I would think I would like to see it being one of the biggest sports in this country, not just at a highly competitive level, but at a social level, so that everybody gets to experience, you know, the joy that we've got to experience yeah. from pickleball. I would love to see.
Well, we've chatted for over an hour,
a half hour, about,
and it's like, and it's easy. That's yeah. the point, isn't it? Easy. Yeah. Do you think maybe the name they might rebrand it one day?
Because no.
I don't. But that's the thing. I think that's a good question, though, isn't it? Because yeah. people say, "Do you know the history behind the name pickleball?"
There's a couple of stories.
Not the dog one. Well, that's not true, is it? I don't know if that's true.
I don't know. People say there's two stories. Either it was named after, because it was played by some people in their garden, and I think they invented it. It was either named after their dog, who was called Pickles, or a pickle boat is a boat that's got elements of different things. And obviously, pickleball has elements of kind of like tennis, table tennis, badminton, squash.
Right.
So I think that's the other story.
Okay.
That it was...
Sounds more feasible.
Yeah, that maybe that...
But the dog one's quite charming,
isn't it? The dog one is.
Pickles.
But no, I mean, I think when people first hear it, they're like, what? But actually, I think it's quite a unique and lovely name. Yeah. And I think it should keep its name. I think
maybe
that's
why the LTA
charm.
Don't like it, because they want to get rid of the name, because it's just not good. Oh. It stands out so much. Have you played paddle tennis?
I played a couple of times with some friends just socially. And again, I can totally see the benefits of paddle, you know. Having the walls, it's really easy to pick up. With tennis, you know, if you miss the ball, you have to walk miles to pick the ball up. Whereas paddle, the ball's right there. You know, it's in yeah. an enclosed kind of cage. So, you know, I've played it. I find it really tricky with the walls. I came from tennis rather than squash.
Yeah.
So for me, it's really hard to get used to the concept of moving away from the ball to hit it.
Well, no, and letting it come off. And then yeah. you've got more time than you think sometimes.
Yeah. So for me, pickleball, I prefer pickleball because it's more similar to tennis, and tennis was my background. But I can see, you know, why so many people
maybe
like playing paddle.
Maybe there should be a challenge. We'll have a paddle versus pickleball challenge. You know, and just see what happens. Because I've got a friend of mine called John Inverdell. You probably know John
from
I have association through rugby.
Okay,
rugby club.
Okay.
And that's where I played. And we had a lunch, and there was a couple of guys, friends of mine, who play paddle. And I said, I play pickleball. And they're just laughing at me.
Yeah.
I'll tell you what, let's have a competition. Yeah. Let's do pickleball, and then we'll all do paddle.
Yeah.
So I'm still waiting for that to be organised.
Yeah,
and
see, definitely.
Because like, I see the benefits of all of it. I mean, I love a knock around with a tennis racket,
exactly.
or go and play paddle down on the coast and stuff. But pickleball, please.
But pickleball's still the best.
Still the best. Thaddea, thank you ever so much.
Thank you so much for having me. Thank you.